You're listening to the Sunday Messages podcast brought to you by Cypress Creek Church.
Some of you might know my wife's name is Joy, and one of my daughters said to me, "Dad, just don't do it. Don't make dad jokes about mother's name in the sermon." But you know, it's just so hard because I've got Joy in my heart. That's right. Thank you. Even though the Aggies lost, right? So we have to put that in perspective. So sorry about that. In the late 80s and 90s, whoa, that identified me, but we were in northern Nigeria doing a Bible translation in the Tiap language. And we were working with a translation team there to get the Word of God in this language that hadn't had it before. And I remember one of the first portions of scripture we checked was our text for today, the Christmas story. And it was just so cool. We went out to different areas to check the translation to make sure we weren't communicating crazy stuff in the text. You know, you think you translate one thing, but how somebody understands it can be quite different. So we were out there, way out in the bush, and it was just such a joy to see the joy in their eyes, to hear the gospel in their language, and many of them, for the first time, they understood what it was all about. And so this whole thing reminds me of that. This whole Christmas season reminds me of those first two chapters of Luke that we were testing. Funny story, we were continuing to check in this remote village, Luke 1, and Luke 1, 41 to 44, where Elizabeth says to Mary, "Hey, at the sound of your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy," or leaped for joy, I think the King James says. And so our male translation team, they kind of went literal on that, and they said, "Okay, yeah, okay, the baby jumped for joy in the womb." So when we read that out to the focus group, the people in the remote village, one lady started laughing uproariously, and I said to her in the language, "Hey, what's the deal with that? As a consultant, I have to poke at such things. When I see a reaction like that, whoop!" So I checked. I said, what are you thinking? What are you hearing from that?" She said, "Oh, you sillies." This is what she said in Tiap. "You sillies," meaning the men on the translation team. "Babies don't foot up," that means jump in the womb, "with joy. They put a roll, tiagugu, in the womb." So anyway, to this day, that is what is in the Tiap Bible. Thanks to that woman who spoke up and corrected us on the... in the translation. But this topic of joy, the joy of salvation, the gift of the joy of salvation is our topic today. So the thing is with joy, it's when you dig into it, it's a very complex concept. In translation, we call it a key term, along with hope and love and some of these others, but it's just hard to nail down. And so it'll be helpful for us to get a working definition as we go into our time together. Joy is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness, delight, or exhilaration, often a deep internal state, as opposed to just a happy feeling. It also refers to a thing or person that brings great happiness or something done to you that can bring great happiness. I'm ad-libbing here. Outward expression of delight or even a triumphant spiritual state. So that's our working definition for purposes this morning. So the question is, how are you finding joy this year of 2025 going into the Christmas season? What have you found joy in this year? And maybe what do you want to find joy in 2026? But for some of us, maybe a more relevant question is, what are we struggling to have joy about in 2025 and 2026? There's a lot of things that go wrong in life, as we know. There's broken relationships, there's health issues, there's finances, there's job losses, there's passing of loved ones. Some of our own members here at Cypress Creek have had tragic losses, even recently, of dear loved ones. How can we move to true joy, especially when our season makes us think, hey, you know, have yourself a merry little Christmas, chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jingle bells, that there's an okay place for that. But can that really move us into true joy when things are tough? Well, our forebears and foremothers, they knew a bit about this, and they put something in the calendar called Blue December. And it's an interesting concept. I asked ChatGPT, why is it called Blue December? And it said something about birthstones. So I don't know, you know, ChatGPT. But the point of it is that this is the winter solstice when, sorry, we're going to have to geek out on astronomy for just a sec. It's the longest night of the year and the shortest day. So the longest night is kind of like a time of depression and suffering. So it's kind of like a figurative thing. So they said, well, let's take the solstice and put a service there so that people who are supposed to be happy at Christmas time can have a space to kind of mourn, have joy and mourn at the same time. So it was a very interesting thing that they did to encourage us to be able to have that space to do that. Well, there's other things that are very helpful in the Christian faith in terms of deep, deep joy that can get us through the hard times. C.S. Lewis wrote a book, Surprised by Joy, where he talks about sometimes God can block our low-level happiness things so that we yearn and long for the ultimate joy, which is He Himself. And this actually happened in his own life, and this was his conversion from atheism to becoming a follower of Jesus, was this God had been preventing him from having happy, happy, happy things, but it forced him to yearn and long, what am I really wanting? And that brought him into the gospel and becoming a believer. Another concept is very helpful in the scripture for this long-term joy that can get us through dark times is the whole idea of joy as an anchor point or a point on the horizon. As if we're seasick, if we put our eye on the horizon, it can stabilize us during that time. It's the kind of joy that Jesus had when it says, for the joy set before him, Jesus scorned the suffering, enduring the shame of the cross. That's a free paraphrase. James tells us that in Jesus, somehow the trials we are going through can become for us pure joy. That's a strong one. And then Jesus says, whatever the case, nobody can take your joy from you. So we've got a lot of things in our faith walk that can help us through these times of challenge as we go through life. And it's also true, I think most of us know, you can be joyful and sorrowing at the same time. That's life, right? I mean, we all can identify those kind of things. So we can be doing both at the same time. We can both be joyful underneath and maybe grieving on top. So it's two opposing things joined together. It's called an oxymoron, if you want the technical definition, where you have two opposing truths joined into one. I feel like I want to write a book, How to Be an Oxymoron, because there's all sorts of these in Scripture, right? Saint, sinner, the kingdom of God is now, but coming. There's a whole fruitful thing, but joy is like that also. Joy, sorrow together sometimes. And what's cool is that our faith makes space for that. It's not reality denying. It's reality. It's girded and linked to the problems of reality. So what we want to do today is take a dive, a re-experience of the Jesus story from Luke 2. It's easy to think about this as just a story that is part of the Jesus story that we have to get these points right. You know, birth, teaching, resurrection, death, resurrection, exaltation in glory, coming, return. And that's very important. But also we need to re-experience the invitation to relationship that Jesus, baby Jesus, brings to us, the story of the Christmas story. So I hope you can kind of re-engage and re-experience this with us as we go through. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. He went to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came to her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the fields keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were filled with great fear, which is what happens when you see angels. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." Literally, the angel says, "I am good newsing you joy. That will be for all the people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Wow. In a very similar dark time, Caesar Augustus throws out the census and makes everybody go to their hometown, wherever they are. How inconvenient is that? Especially when Mary's, she's pregnant. So it's not a time of joy at the time of Jesus' birth either. And we all know all those details, so I won't go into that. But it wasn't a good time. But what we want to do now is focus on the gospel. What is this good news of great joy? So we're going to take a quick look and park on the names of Jesus, because that's what the gospel is about. Who he is and what he does for us and who he is for us. So we are going to look at a lot of the names of Jesus in the coming minutes here. First of all, Savior. I put Deliverer up there because this is a different side of Jesus. It's not the regular word for Savior. It's like Savior Deliverer. It's more like Old Testament Joshua or some of the judges where, well, without sin, who delivered the Israelites from various enemies. So it's got this component of acting decisively to liberate. Bondage breaker would be another one, bondage breaker. He breaks the bondage of sin, both the result, the guilt, and the power of it. Pastor Jose gave a great example from an encounter a while back where somebody who had been addicted to something or other for years was set free by the Savior Deliverer, Christus Victor. Christus Victor just means victorious Jesus. This is Jesus not as the covering for our sins, but this is Jesus militant. This is Jesus going and destroying the works of the devil in our lives. So I don't know if we've experienced the joy of having deliverance, but that when you're delivered from all sorts of a range of things, that causes joy. And Colossians 2:15 really pops this name of Jesus. It says, he, meaning God, disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him, meaning through Jesus. So it's like he held him up and took all his weapons away. Right? So it's got that militant idea that Jesus is active. He's destroying the works of devil in our lives, and that brings us joy. So has he done that in our lives this year? Or maybe we need to pray that he would do that in the end and then also into next year. So remember, we've got Jesus delivered. The good news of joy is about we got a deliverer. We got more than that also. Well, in addition to that, we've got a servant Messiah. That's the other, it says, in the city of David is born to you a Savior slash deliverer. Christ the Lord. Christ in Greek is Christos, means anointed one. In Hebrew, that means Mashiach, means the guy that was appointed and anointed king over Israel. So this is the Jesus as a fulfiller of promises and the faithfulness of God to what he's promised us. He fulfills, and when he fulfills that, those things, we get joy out of seeing those promises fulfilled. And part of the Messiah's ministry also is this ministering to the brokenhearted. And we see this prophesied, and it comes out in the Gospels when we see actually Jesus appear on the scene when he becomes a man. Let's take a look at Isaiah 42 to see kind of the prophecy. Behold, my servant, talking about the Messiah, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. In other words, he's not a big mouth. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. Amen. So look at that compassion he's got. A bruised reed, meaning a reed that's already been bent a bit by life's circumstances, he doesn't break it off. He straightens it and probably encourages it to be vertical. He doesn't put a little bit of spark and interest in him. He doesn't come down with judgment and whatever to snuff it out. So he wants to increase the flame. He doesn't want to crush it out. So that's some of the ministry of the Messiah. This is the gospel. The good news of joy is that we have Jesus, who's our Messiah. He's faithful to his promises, and he ministers to us like that. Some of us right now are a bit like bruised reeds, and some of us have that wick just smoldering, and we need some kerosene on that thing from the Messiah. So wherever we are, though, we can trust that he's wanting to give us that joy of ministry as our Messiah. All right, the next name. This is a big one. Kurios. When that's used in Greek, this means that he's saying that Jesus is Yahweh. He's God. I am that I am from the Old Testament. This is the eternal one. This is the one who created the world. This is the one who was and is to come. So we've got God himself, who now knows what we feel like because he's become a person, which is crazy. What general? It's like generals going into the foxholes. I mean, that's pretty awesome. That's just a poor comparison to God becoming a person. But the idea is that he's come down and he's with us. And we can trust that we have the power of the Almighty Creator in our lives to that we can trust and hope on, and the gospel of joy is about him acting like that powerfully in our lives. Where do we see that we need gospel joy in God himself doing something in our lives this morning? Anyway, we can trust that he has the power to do it. Maybe not in our time, but he has the ability to do anything. This is the gospel. He's deliverer. He's Messiah. He's Lord. Now, there's one more. We're going to jump to it in very fast. Verse 21, we get the Savior. And that's Jesus' usual name, Jesus, which is in Hebrew, it's Yeshua or Yehoshua. That means God saves. So this is Jesus' usual title, right? Jesus' name means God saves. And so how have we, in terms of covering our sin in particular, so how have we experienced the joy of forgiveness this year? Or maybe we need to experience the joy of forgiveness coming up? The joy of our Savior having given himself up for us. There's two other names, but they're going to be, one's going to be on Christmas Eve in 2 days, December 23rd. I'm not going to say what it is. It begins with, no. And then on Sunday, we get yet another one. So stay tuned. There's two more great names of Jesus we're going to look at in this series. Okay, there's more. The wonder of the gift. We experience the joy of salvation by experiencing the wonder of the gift. And this will be a sign for you, said the angel. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. So what's the sign, right? I mean, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes is not a miraculous sign in Hebrew culture. We still do that here sometimes. Some people swaddle their babies, and in Hebrew culture they do. So that's not the big thing. So what's the sign? Well, if you look at the circumstances, the idea that the creator of the universe, who's deliverer, Messiah and Lord and Savior, that he will be found as a baby in an animal feeding trough, that's the sign. The shepherds would not be able to believe such a thing. That would be a miracle of humility in this case. So that's the wonder of the gift that brings us great joy. Our cousins from another majority religion, they think we're crazy to say that God would become a human person, because it would be beneath the dignity of God Almighty to become a person. And in one way, they're right, but that's the miracle of humility of Jesus. I don't know, the idea that the eternal God would become a baby subject to all our sinful world is a crazy idea and a cause for joy. I think Martin Luther said, yeah, we know that Jesus was the Son of God and he was born as a baby because we would not think of doing that as human beings. That's God's idea. That's crazy. We wouldn't do that if we were God. So that's the wonder of the gift. I was with my father-in-law for my wife and I went up to Dallas for this Thanksgiving weekend, and my British father-in-law, he's 94, and they're in that space between everything breaking down in this world and going into glory. And it was just a joy. I said, well, you know, great-grandpa, I'm a grandpa now, so I could call him great-grandpa, what do you want to do? And he just wanted to listen to carols, Christmas carols, especially from King's College, Cambridge, which is his favorite choir. So we geeked out on 4+ hours of Christmas carols, and it was just a joyous experience because it got me into this space of wonder of the gift. So if, with your permission, let's geek out for just 2 stanzas of a carol. Sorry, guys. Okay, so it's a beautiful carol by Christiana Rossetti called In the Bleak Midwinter. Our God cannot hold him, nor earth sustain. Heaven and earth will flee away when he comes to reign. In the bleak midwinter, a stable place sufficed. The Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ. Enough for him whom cherubim worship night and day, a breast full of milk and a manger full of hay. Enough for him whom angels fall down before, the ox and donkeys and cattles which adore. Anyway, we enjoyed each other's company there, and it was just a time of worship of the wonder of the gift, with all these carols kind of focused on this idea of, you know, infinite God becoming helpless baby. Who would do that? It's only God. That's part of the joy of salvation and the glory of what our Savior's done for us, is that he would even think of doing that. All right, our story moves on. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. It's a big deal when a multitude of angels show up, right? The only other time this happens is when Jesus is going to come back again. Then we get another group of angels and his people coming back. So this is, I wouldn't say a game changer, I would say it's a universe changer, this event. And my father-in-law, as we were listening, he said, it with tears in his eyes, he said, oh, he said, it's so joyful and wonderful and important that heaven had to chime in. And isn't he right? Isn't he right? But part of this is proving that this is a significant, it's highlighting that this is indeed the major event, the first of the whole event of Jesus' life, which it starts with his birth, goes through his death and resurrection and glorification. That whole package, this is like stage one of it. So that's what's so exciting and why the angels show up. They couldn't help it because it's like, huh, this is the beginning. This is the beginning of the end of sin. So that's why they showed up. Another thing, if you dig into Luke, you notice that there's an angel and now a multitude of angels. Why? There's two, right? So if you go through Luke 1 and 2, you get these two, 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 two. Because Luke is trying to show us that these things have witnesses. They're not just my idea as a gospel writer, but that we've got two witnesses, right? So in Hebrew culture, if you've got two witnesses, that proves something. So the whole point is to, also is to say, look, we've got a gospel of good news, of joy, of great news that is reliable. It's not just spin. It's just not narrative propaganda. It's not an agenda. But it actually happened. It's a brute fact. So that's why if you, your assignment, if you choose to accept it, if you go through Luke 1 and 2 and look for the pairs of witnesses, pop, 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 Mary Elizabeth, I won't say anymore. I won't say anymore. So we're come to this point where the joy of salvation, we experience the gift, the identity of Jesus for us as wrapped up in his names, what he does for us. That's what joy we can get, the wonder of the whole thing, and the proof of it. So that's our first part of experience the joy of salvation, is experiencing those things. But the story continues, of course. When the angels went away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Shepherds. They responded to the angel's message. Now, they could have parked. You say, well, you know, if I had a message from one angel and then many angels, I would have gone and told somebody or figured out if it was going to happen or confirm what has been told to me anyway. So maybe, but you remember that Zechariah had the angel Gabriel directly from the throne of God appear to him and say, your wife in her old age is going to have a baby. And he doubted. And so the angel said, you're not going to be able to talk for many months because you didn't believe me. Right, so Zechariah went from unbelief to belief, but the shepherds were right on it immediately. They responded in what faith they had, and they moved on it. And they made it, the angel said to them, to you, meaning you shepherds, you common people, you all you people, all the people in the world, to you is born today in the city of David. So it was to them personally. They made it personal. I love the quote by Luther here about what he says about how important it is for us to take the message of the gospel, but make it personal to us like the shepherds did. Of what benefit would it be to me if Christ had been born 1,000 times and it would daily be sung into my ears in a most lovely manner? If I were never to hear that he was born for me and was to be my very own. True religion is a matter of personal pronouns. I say my God, and he says my son, my daughter. So it's the shepherds responded with what little content they had, but they acted on it. They stepped out in faith. They said, well, let's go see if it's true or not. They could have parked on the experience, you know, if I'm trying to put it in our modern culture. Dude, you know, we just saw angels. We could just, what was that? It was like, woo, and it's like, yeah, you know. you could park on the experience alone, but they didn't. They wanted to check it out. They wanted to respond and say, okay, well, let's see about that. And they had joy in God's promise fulfilled to them. And we can trust God that when we trust his word and respond in faith, we can have the joy of seeing him fulfill the promise, even if it might take a while. But that's not all that happened. And when they saw the baby, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. It's interesting, I bolded that saying part because getting into this idea of not the experience only primarily, but the content of the message, there's two different words for like talk or message in Greek. One is logos, one is rhema. So this one is not just they told the content of what the angel said in a general way. It's rhema, meaning they told Mary and Joseph and all who were in the house what this word meant. It's the preached word, the anointed word by the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. And that's what they did. So we have it. The joy of salvation. Leaning into the identity of Jesus. Leaning into the wonder of the birth. Leaning into the proof of it. Responding in faith to that gift and sharing the gift with others. I don't know where you are today in your joy level, but we know that God is here for you. You might be looking for joy actively, like the person in the parable that was actively looking for a pearl. When they found it, they sold all they had and with joy bought it all. Or maybe you are somebody who is discovering unexpectedly a joy, like the parable of the person who was working in a field and they came across a treasure. And then with joy, they sold all they had to come to it. Maybe either way, everybody's welcome to seek the joy. Also, all of us need to return to the source of our joy, don't we? Everybody needs a recharge at Jesus' joy station. We all need that because life is in this world is troublesome. But we have a Savior that is all those things to us and is here for us. So if the Spirit is moving you, please, after we talk, after I finish, please come forward for prayer, whether it's the joy you're wanting, joy for somebody else you're praying for, whatever the case may be. And remember, Jesus is the deliverer, the bondage breaker. He can give joy into a locked, apparently locked situation. He can break that door open. So I don't know what it is for you this morning, but let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for all you've done. We thank you for all Jesus is to us. We thank you that you were humble enough to come down and become one of us, so you know our pain and sorrow. You know what joy is, and you also know what sorrow is because you became one of us. We praise you because we have a God that knows everything about us, Lord. And so you know when we're lacking joy and we need it. And you know when we need new joy and you give it. So I just pray for our congregation, Lord. I just pray that you would minister joy, the joy of salvation anew this Christmas season. We ask all these things with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sunday Messages podcast. You can dive deeper into the messages weekly by subscribing to the Conversations podcast, where we dig into the previous Sunday's message, unpacking how we can apply it further in our daily lives. See you again next week.